Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel from Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, DJ Lightweight Foundation Lunch. Fellas, how y'all doing?
Good. It's good to be here.
You look sharp, man.
Yeah, well, thanks. Appreciate it. It's good to see you guys in person. This is the first time we've done a show in person ever. The four of us.
Is it a Hong Kong Andy?
It is. Hong Kong Andy pants and jacket.
It looks like it.
Shout out to Hong Kong Andy.
Shout out to Hong Kong Andy.
He's going to be in Florida in the next couple weeks, so.
For all your suiting needs.
Not a sponsor.
We got to charge Hong Kong Andy for that.
Sorry, not an ad.
What are you drinking there, man, before we get started? What are you drinking?
Old fashioned.
Old fashioned.
It's an old fashioned. Get the juices flowing a little bit. We're going to have a lot of interviews with former Gator greats, current Gator greats, maybe a few surprises that we don't know.
Correct.
So we're excited about today. Overall, we're here at Spurrier's, a beautiful restaurant. My first time here. Nick, you've been here a bunch.
Plenty, yeah.
Have you ever been here,
Corey? First time here.
First time as well.
It's beautiful. Go check it out if you're ever in town.
Quick story about it.
Okay.
Upstairs, we were up there at Visors. If you go to the bathroom, the wallpaper are just old football plays.
Right.
When they were talking about building this, they just asked Spurrier to draw up some plays. And he remembered plays from specific years, from games. So all of the plays there were drawn on a cocktail napkin by head ball coach himself with who, the year, the game, what the play call was, and they turned it into wallpaper.
That's incredible memory.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. Also, like, just it's definitely branded for Spurrier, like from the visors to, like, the memorabilia around the building. It's a lot of things designed and, you know, predicated around him, like elite branding. He was NIL before NIL.
Yeah.
I joke with Jerry, if you look forward, you can see like all of the bowl, every bowl game gives you a watch.
Okay. Right, right.
Jerry must have loved having this place open to get all of this stuff out of her
get house. All the junk, yeah, yeah. Just collecting dust in the garage. It's time, Steve.
Yeah.
It's time, Steve.
I only have so many Tag Heuer Outback Bowl watches.
How many is too many?
One.
Okay.
Two.
Yeah, I think once you get one.
Sorry, Tag. Yeah, if you want to sponsor.
Shout out to Tag. Shout out to Tag.
Shout out to the Tag watch.
Yeah, right now I think we only have a Breitling represented, so
no watch game.
I can become a Tag guy very easily.
You seen that humble flex from there? Like, he just let you know he had a Breitling.
Yeah,
I think this is a Richard Mille. I don't know.
Whatever. Richard Mille? Let me see it.
It's under the sleeve. Under the sleeve.
Okay, same.
So we're here today. DJ Lagway is announcing his foundation, which represents, or his benefactor, is UF Health. He's working closely with Johnny Townsend, and his foundation raises quite a bit of money for UF Health. We've got some former Gators here that we've seen in the crowd already. Steve Spurrier just walked in right before we started. We saw Ernest Graham.
Yes, sir.
Anthony Richardson is supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's another few surprises.
I think Warfel's pulling up. Brandon Spikes.
Spikes in the building.
We're going to try to pull them in and get some content in. You guys stay tuned. Definitely getting DJ Lagway in, the man of the hour. Mama Lagway, try to get her in here. DeBron Hampton. Definitely, I'm waiting to see which guys from the team pull up, because those are the guys that I really want to get in and tap in with some spring football, find out what's going on at practice. But, yeah, man, it feels good to be back in Gainesville for sure.
It does, yeah. This is the first time the four of us have done this live. This is my first time back in Gainesville in a year and a half. So it's good to be here. It's going to be an exciting show, I think, for content, different content than we normally get. And it's all in person for the first time we get to do that. So we're excited to share what we're doing on behalf of Stadium Miguel with the DJ Lagway Foundation. But more importantly, I'm excited to share what DJ Lagway is doing with his foundation. There's a ton of people here. No offense. I didn't know how many people would be here. I don't know if they're I've never been to the restaurant, so I don't know if it holds 100, 200.
Right.
I didn't know
probably at least 200 people here already, and it's 20 minutes after start time. So there's going to be a few hundred people here, so we're excited on behalf of the foundation for welcoming us to this event. Before we get into the interviews and everything else we're going to do today, the Gators did land a commit. I think it's important to mention.
Oh, for sure.
They got Isaiah Williams, a number one rated linebacker in the class of 2026. This is his fourth commitment, but he said he's shutting it down. So previously committed to Florida State and Syracuse. Right now ranked the number 12 player in the country. Hits like a stick. So huge impact for the class of 2026, which already has some great foundational pieces. But to get the number one player in his position in that class is huge. He shouted out Robert Bala, who was officially announced today as the outside linebackers coach. And then he mentioned a few other people. I don't have my computer in front of me, so go read the article. It's on Odd Three. Go support Zach Albaverde in that article. So, would be remiss if we waited another week to talk about that huge get on over the weekend for the Florida Gators.
Or go support Nick at Florida Victorious. He wrote one as well. You know, got to support the home team.
Yeah,
great.
My bad.
No, it's all good. You got to make sure we take care of the crib. You know, a great get. I think, like you said, I don't like to celebrate getting these type of commitments too early because of recruiting. He's on his third, fourth commitment. Yeah. The money in NIL really hits in November, December. But we got a very athletic guy, 4.4 40, laser clock guy. If you check his Twitter page, I retweeted a page where he's doing like 360 dunks and off of one dribble, slamming the ball on the basketball court. Super athletic guy. Add to like more to that room. That room is full of athletic guys that can just run sideline to sideline. Isaiah Williams is one of those dudes, man. Shout out to Robert Baller. I thought we would never have a drop-off depending on whatever linebacker coach we brought in. It starts at the top. Billy Napier does a great job at recruiting, closing on kids, and Robert Baller, a young dude. We're going to see how he coaches on the field, but I don't expect any drop-off in the recruitment dynamic. So, great get.
What a transformation in the linebacker room, right? I mean, a couple years ago, we had a lot of questions about offensive line. DJ Lagway thinks that they have the best offensive line in the SEC. We've had questions about the running back room at times. That looks to be one of the deepest in college football. We had a lot of questions about linebacker. That looks to be full of unbelievable promise, right? Like you're waiting to see them take their next step. But between the freshmen and sophomores that UF has now, add in Jaden Robinson and a few of the other guys that are already there. I mean, that's bordering on what you would expect elite if the production can match the quality.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, and not to knock the guys, but like we went through Ventrell Miller was here for 5 years. He's still in the league, but not the most athletic three down linebacker, maybe. Right. Yep, we thought Amari Burney was. He was a safety in high school, moved down, but in terms of just like you said, athleticism in that room, it completely transforms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So got to give a shout out to Billy Napier and his group and Robert Baller. Obviously, it's still very early, a lot can change. It's tough to put a feather in your cap on the fourth commitment, but hey, he's got to go somewhere, and right now it's University of Florida, so excited to welcome Isaiah Williams to that class of 2026. So
feather pending.
Yeah. Feather, pull it out, put in some ink, wait till that letter is signed.
Yeah, because I do think it's pretty early in the process. You know how it is, especially with NIL in the picture now. Yeah. Like, it can get crazy. So.
Especially being the number one recruit at your position.
Come on. But I do think if we have a good season how we're supposed to have and everything is going right, everybody's going to want to jump on the train and he's going to feel like he started the train in a sense. So I feel like that would be a good reason to keep him right where he's supposed to be, staying with us. So.
Yeah. It seems like Florida's recruited a lot of guys that want to make that kind of generational impact as the guys that turned it around.
Right.
So you've heard that a lot, right?
Right.
That Florida's like a sleeping giant. So here's their opportunity to make that impact. And, you know, he'll come in, have another year at DJ Lagway. You take that Lagway success, whether he chooses to go to the NFL or, you know, sticks around for another year after that, you know, into what could be, you know, perennial top, you know, five, top 10 program if they can continue to recruit and develop the way that they have.
Nick. You got the juice, man. You got more access than everybody at spring practice.
Why they trying to put my boy on the spot?
I want to get to the bar and the vibes. You know, I want to go hang out and mingle amongst some great company. But you got to let us know what's going on behind the curtains, man. We're seeing the 15 minutes of allotted time from all of the reporters. But you get to hang out a little bit longer, man. And I know this is not Florida Victorious, but give us some juice, man.
Yeah, that 15 minutes is a sham. My goodness. My goodness.
Couldn't imagine. Couldn't be me. Right?
For 12 years, I was, you know, ushered in. You watch the same hook. You watch the same running back in the flat pass. Uh-huh. And you get 30. It's surprising how much Twitter and social media holds on to. I'm like, hey, man, this is the same curl I sent 2 days ago.
Right.
Same players running.
Yeah, but it's new. It's today.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Being at the whole practice, and Jordan will tell you, like, it's just repetition. You're seeing, you're almost like waiting for team run. So it's a lot of repetition, but my goodness, the stuff you see when you're there for the whole time. DeBron Hampton, you mentioned him.
Yep.
Still playing on the other field. You know, you've got your big field with the first, second team,
and
cooking everybody that's in front of him.
Mm. Right, right.
I think we thought, you know, oh, this is the and one with DJ, his friend, his teammate in high school. Right. He's got speed. He's also doing some punt return. Okay. That's one thing I wanted to talk about. We always try to figure out who's doing punt return. All three of the freshman receivers. Come on in, Brian.
Come on, Brian. Alma mater, man. Brought to you by. We didn't do any.
We'll do it here in a second.
Punt return. They've got shooters on punt return. You've got Nayshawn Montgomery. He looks slick. Vernell Brown, Trey Wilson, J. Michael Sturdivant, Jaden Ball, all guys returning punts and kicks. I liked the way the freshman looked.
Hey, can we talk about Dallas Wilson real quick?
Dallas Wilson looks like a physically looks like a early enrollee 5-star linebacker.
I thought I was just crazy. Looks like an elite high school linebacker physically.
Yeah. And then runs like a 5-star receiver.
I saw that footwork. I think I think I could do footwork and you could put it on double time and I'm still slow.
That's facts.
I mean, don't use me as like an athletic like number, person. But
yeah, I would say maybe triple.
Maybe quadruple, who knows?
Yeah. Physical specimen. 6'3", 205. Just runs though, runs. Monster, and yeah. I think I heard VB3 ran a 4.3. Like the receiver room is insane.
A real 4.3 or an Urban Meyer 4.3?
It might be a 4.1 on Urban stopwatch.
Right.
But being able to see the guys, like being up close with Trey, I've watched him work out. He's so much bigger, physically, just bigger. Hopefully that leads to more availability.
Yeah.
Keep him from getting injured.
Right.
You know, that, I think I heard Bryce Lovett say they call the off-season program getting their armor for the season. But the wide receiver room, what they lack in experience, they more than make up for in talent. I'm with DJ. You get Barber, Najee Harris, Jake Slaughter, and right guard Damian George back. I think Bryce Lovett is looking like he's going to take that right tackle spot.
Okay.
You also have Rod Kearney, who I think should vie and should continue to push. They're not sliding him from center to guard. They're letting him just, hey, you're going to play guard, get comfortable there, try to push for that starting spot. It's just a lot.
There's a lot to put on a kid for that, man. Especially with O-line, you kind of have to let them just get situated and just learn it. Because some people have troubles with being on the left side to the right side, depending on what like foot is dominant for them.
It's easy. Just to flip left to right tackle.
Literally, guys, you can only play the right side of the ball. Literally, dudes that can only play the left side of the ball. So just getting a dude like that, he's probably a little bit younger, just getting him comfortable with getting those reps on the right side. I feel like that's
and he wasn't a center, so he was a guard in high school. And then they asked him to, hey, by the way, do all that stuff, but also you're going to have to hold the ball and snap it. So he had to learn to play center, and now it's like, okay, he can still do that, but let him focus in on one thing, take some stuff off the plate. Defensively, they're not in pads yet, but the defensive line is giving the offensive line fits, and I think the offensive line is going to be good. Now, it's probably a little different once you get the pads on, a little more to grab onto as an offensive lineman. But George Gums, Cam James, Tyreek Sapp, LJ McCray, I had to do a double take. He's wearing number 11. I was like, wait.
Yeah.
They let Kelvin Collins back in the building. What
I
happened?
Like the 11 a little bit better than the 17.
Yeah, for sure.
I think the defense is going to be good. And then one I want to highlight, because I think the only time people want to talk about what I say about Cormani is if it's not positive. Cormani looks fantastic. I was talking to Quincy Wilson about him.
Pass the cheek check. Gaining weight.
I don't know if he's passing the cheek check, but he's not a
thick enough for you?
Yet.
Yeah.
Like a Twix. I think Snickers would be
thicker. Oh, man.
He's running on the opposite side of Devin Moore with the first team. He's been fantastic in terms of on the field. I think the biggest thing for him, though, is stacking days off the field. And it's never been about
his gameplay
or his skill. It's just, hey, just you got to mature so that you're not getting in trouble and we can put you on the field.
All right, realize which position you're in and kind of just go for it, man. You got a lot in front of you, man. So I think he's a really talented dude. I feel like he'll end up being a really good guy for us and bringing DBU back for us, hopefully.
Tough. Still wearing the 2.5.
I like 25 on him.
He's got
like
a 7 chain, but they gave 7. They gave, well, he's 7's his number.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
got
yeah. a yeah, but very like, big you're chain. Sitting next to 2-5. Like,
well,
I mean,
I'm saying he's got a very yeah. big chain
like you
of the number 7. Shout out us. Shout out Fort Victorious. But he's in 2-5. They gave 7 to Ty Jackson.
5-6-1.
So he's definitely not getting 7. You just gave 7 to a freshman. Cormani's rocking out. With the 2-5.
Might rock out with the 2-5.
I think it's a year for Cormani to go crazy because they're not going to give out that one this year, right? So it's an opportunity for him to just go crazy and you know, better his leadership and, you know, reputation.
Right.
And better that a little bit this year and then jump into that number one. But we got a guy that can absolutely shut down the whole side of the mm-hmm. field. I want him to see him get better in his zone knowledge and, you know, that experience. But when we go cover one and we just need him to man to man, we got a guy that's going to lock down some people, man. But I wanted
to. Did he burn his red shirt last year? Did he have to? I mean, I know he played against Kentucky. I know he played against Tulane, which doesn't count.
I have to look at that.
So I'd have to look to see if he still has.
Did he play Tulane? He didn't play Tulane. He was out injured. He broke his head.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I don't think he played after. He didn't play the LSU game. Everything before LSU, he didn't.
Oh, I was thinking Teddy Foster played against Tulane.
Correct,
right.
Correct.
Pulling it up.
All right, well, I think that's that. We want to do our ad reads real quick. I feel like we owe it to them.
Yeah, one time for the great folks, man, who hold us down each and every week on Stadium Miguel, Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured from the Panhandle to the Keys, 954-589-2204, home, auto, trailer, motorcycle, your life. My man Greg got you. It's a free quote. You can also visit bruninsurance.com. That phone number again is 954-589-2204.
Greg, what it do, baby?
I've always wanted to hear it in person. We didn't even do the intro, so I didn't get to hear Nick say 2-5 other than when he's just dogging on the number. Also want to give a shout out to our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. Go visit them, GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15. That'll get you 15% off of your order. We'll keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. All the best vacuum sealed cups out there that are twice as expensive are not as good quality as Game Time Sidekicks. So go check them out. Go support a Gator in Knoxville. Go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15.
And since we're here, the package, Tyler, sorry, did not come in time, but they have done a deal with DJ Lagway. They have some DJ Lagway branded cups. And I think
that's going to get announced this week. So it hasn't even officially been announced yet. They partnered with DJ Lagway and Jeremiah Smith to release new branded cups for them. So those products will get released this week. They're just working through some final art design. So those will be available on the Game Time Sidekicks website.
We were supposed to have them.
We were supposed to have them here. Yeah, they tried to rush the order, just did not come to the house before I got here. You'll see it. Back in my office.
Yeah, Nick's going to show all of them on the show. Yeah,
why does Nick have 6 cups? Oh, I don't know. They were just all to me.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a little break right here. We're going to go enjoy some drinks, company, network a little bit, and then we'll bring some more company in here. We're also going to talk about more things with spring football, but Ben Chase, what's up, man? Hey, we're going to take a little break. See you guys back next segment. Yerp.
We refreshed our beverages. We walked around. We lost Nick somehow. But we found Ernest Graham.
Yes, sir.
Florida Gator legend Ernest Graham and father of Gator linebacker Miles Graham. Ernest, thanks for coming, brother.
Oh, man, thank you all for having me.
Absolutely. So what does it mean? Talk to us a little bit about legacy, right? You were an unbelievable player that I grew up watching at the University of Florida. Now your son's playing, entering his sophomore year. What does that mean to you as a Gator?
I tell you what, man, I tell people all the time that my son taught me a lot about legacy. You know, in a sense, I didn't have a father when I was growing up. I didn't have anybody, you know, coaching me, leading me. I didn't have anybody, you know, to really go to when things were tough. I had my youth coaches and all that, but that intimate relationship with a father, I really did not. I really did not have. You know, ever since, you know, he came into the world, you know, as we all know as fathers, you know, you go in the bathroom and come back out and he, you know, it's like you've been gone, you know. It's like you've been gone forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was something that he sought out to do. And he's like, you know, I naturally been in the business of football, haven't been in the business of football, you know, and a diehard Florida Gator and love the Gators. You know, as a father, you know, I didn't want to press him or push him into, you know, a decision. And he's, man, no, man, you my daddy. You know what I'm saying? So,
you gotta love that.
Yeah, I'm going to the University of Florida. This is what I'm doing. I'm committed. And you know, and I always have to mention my daughter as well, because mm-hmm. I mean, she's a senior here.
Yeah.
You know, she was the first one to get in here academically.
Yeah. So, that's harder than that.
So you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so like, you know, it's a much bigger, you know, picture. But they taught me about that, and I just wanted to be a good husband and a good father and honor the Lord, and that's what I got, man. And I'm blessed. You know what I mean? Awesome.
Man, what's it like to see him? Yeah. Like, I'm watching him. I had you guys at the Trap Music Museum. Yeah. He's at high school in Atlanta. And he's on campus. He's going on to his second year, and watching him mature and, like, go into a leadership role now. Like, watching him lead practices and some of those chants before the practices. What's that like for you to see him kind of transforming, not from a role player as a freshman, but as a sophomore trying to, like, lean into leadership role?
Man, it's awesome to see him step into it, because, you know, those things can be available and you not, you know, really step into it or embrace it.
Right.
And, you know, you never know. You know, a lot of it's personality based. You know, a lot of it is, you know, a lot of kids get right to the, you know, kind of the precipice and, like, shy away and get cool and get killed. You never know. And you see, you know, people who come on, make a splash their first year, do pretty well their first year, come back the second year, and, you know, it's lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for him, just trying to connect him to the, you know, just the bigger vision of why he's doing it. Like you talk, guys talked about, you know, being in the orange and blue is just different for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that mental picture that he's always had, you know, being in the orange and blue, you know, being a leader for the orange and blue. And, you know, we talked about that during the process, man. Like, if that gets you up every day and that gets you going and it motivates you and it's bigger than the game, because it's got to be, you know, then you're going to act as such. So, you know, seeing him step into a bigger role, because one, he's a guy, like, that dude loves his friends. I'm an introvert. I'm like standoffish. Like, that dude loves his friends and he loves his teammates. So, you know, I'm not surprised that opportunity was there and he really embraced it, you know.
So any advice for the people that have sons, as well as I have a son, and just any way to go about any special advice you can give to the rest of the men out here trying to lead their sons to be as great as he is? Obviously, he looks like he respects and loves the game of football.
Yep.
He chose to follow your legacy and do everything. So I just want to know, do you got any blueprints for us?
I would say it's a blueprint. You know, we all are uniquely who we are, right? Like, you know, we all are individuals, and, you know, every kid comes into this world with their own personality. You know, so we can't, you know, take that for granted. One of my biggest things was I really let my son be. Like, I introduced him to stuff. You know, I come from an athletic background, so I played, like, 5 sports. I was drafted in baseball and both. So I came from an athletic background. So first sports he played was soccer, you know, and baseball, you know, and then he got into football, you know, almost, you know, he played 2 years in youth football. But I was just very cautious of the men that I trusted him with, you know, the environments that I put him in. There were just certain youth programs I would not, I would not put him in. And everywhere I go, I was, you know, really setting the example of the type of, you know, men you want to be around, the type of institutions you want to be around. These kids are watching us, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right.
You can give somebody a blueprint and say a certain thing, and if you're not serving a certain example, you know, they don't follow what they see, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
what
they see you do. Sure.
You know, so I coached him, man, you know, and I trained him and all of that. Yeah. You know, I let him, one thing I did is he wasn't as busy as I was as a kid. I let him sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's important.
That's probably why he talked. That's probably why he, you know what I'm saying?
You gotta get your rest, though.
But, you know what I'm saying? I let him sleep, you know what I'm saying? I let him rest, and, you know, and it worked, you know what I mean? So I don't think it's, you know, down to the science or anything.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, man, love your kids, you know, be available, you know, intimately talk to them, you know, listen to them. And, you know, if they athletes, is, you know, they're gonna find their way. You know, the stuff that, especially, you know, with our experience, you know, teaching them is second nature, because you know it so well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's gonna happen. And there's a lot of good programs out there. It ain't a shortage of training out there right now.
It's almost too much.
You know, he grew up around the game. You know, he was a coach's son.
Yeah.
He was in the locker room every day, so it's just what he knew. He was in the locker room when I was with the Bucks.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Naturally.
So, yeah, his experience, you know, he's just, And we've been a football player since he was born, for sure.
How do you mentally talk to him? Obviously, he's a star athlete, five-star recruit in high school, comes to UF, is in a supporting role, is learning a new defense, learning college football. You know, now expectations for him, his responsibilities are going to grow this year. How do you talk to him about some of the psychology behind that and kind of moving into that role? And, you know, and then what role do you play? And it's kind of a weird two-part question, but what part of role do you play in as his father and then having the coaching staff, you know, telling them what they're going to tell, and then your shared experience. So I don't know how you answer that question, but.
No, it's all good. I mean, I'm trying to keep it simple, man. Like, I tell them to keep an edge. You know, you know, it's one thing. I don't care what you got to do, but, you know, like you say, the psychological part of it, you got to find a reason, you know what I mean, to get up every day and play this tough and physical game.
Yeah, man.
You know, you especially now, you know, these guys are, you know, they're making money, you know, something, you know, a lot of them are jumping out in nice vehicles and all this different stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have that option. We were all trying to really,
you know what I'm saying?
You're
on the scooters, two
man,
people.
Man, listen, man.
You know, I still remember watching both penalties on two scooters at one time.
Yeah, we were getting it from the muscle. So it's like, man, you got to keep an edge.
Yeah.
You can't get soft, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't get soft. You can't start letting soft stuff, you know, into your head, you know, the time that you, you know, spend in the, you know, the facility, you know, breaking down film, but you have always got to, you know, really have a reason, you know, to go out there and be, I mean, we play football.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To go out there and be violent. It can't be the soft stuff, bro. Like, you know, it can't be.
Yeah.
You know, so I talk to him about that, you know, just when I, if I see him making certain decisions, I'm like, man, how's this going to impact you? You want that whip? Okay, you coming out of that facility, you jumping in that nice car every day, are you still going to be hungry?
Right.
Because you got to, dude, you got to be hungry, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you're hungry, you're going to, you know, you're going to hunt a certain way. And that's how we, you know, that's how we talk.
I like that. If you're hungry, you're going to hunt a certain way. That's that football talk, man.
Yeah.
While we got you here, man, we got two running backs in the room, man. Mm-hmm. I think our running back room at Florida is special right now.
Yeah.
Jaden Ball, Jacoby Jackson. I love Kaden Daniels. I love Webb.
Yeah.
Those guys, the room is just absolutely loaded. I didn't even get into the freshman, Waltez Clark. Cam Carroll is still there. It's an absolutely totally loaded room, man. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts on the running back room right now?
I mean, I think it's an excellent room. I think it's a great array of talents.
Yeah.
You know, I know we've got power in the room. We've got, you know, speed, a blend of, you know, speed. We've got one cut, you know, more one cut, you know, runners. I think Jaden Ball is I think he was already a pro last year. Like, you know, he already has the size, the feet, the ends. Like, he just does things that people who just move the chains all the time do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Excellent athlete, catches the ball out of his hands. I know Treyon was out last year. I think Treyon is a dog. I mean, people overuse that term, you know, but I think he's just a natural runner who's played a lot of football and done really well. Jacoby Jackson, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's a phenomenal back. I think we have a great room. They're coached by, you know, Coach DeLuke. So, you know, that means those guys are going to be prepared. But, you know, we definitely have, you know, one of the, you know, better room in the nation, especially with, you know, the amount of young guys that, you know, we have coming in. So, you know, I'm looking forward to watching those guys.
RBU, baby.
Yes, sir.
Get back to it. Well, Ernest, we appreciate you coming on, man.
Yep.
We really do. And best of luck to your son and, you know, all you do for Gator Nation. And we'll talk soon, my friend.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Awesome.
Right.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right.
We found Nick along the way.
It was a trap. The baby showed up, had to be dad for a minute.
Yeah, but even better, we found Tank Hawkins, who's here supporting his teammate, DJ Lagway at the DJ Lagway Foundation Kickoff. Tank, pleasure to have you, brother.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all for having me.
This is the official Tank Hive. I don't know if you know it, man. We've been on this movement for a while.
For like 2 years.
For 2 years, man. Yeah. The moment you committed, it's just been anticipation of you getting to the logo. Me and Nick having debates. This was a whole segment last year about the amount of snaps and activity. You know, it's a lot of snaps to be had in that room.
Yeah.
It's competitive. You know, you was a true freshman, so we was trying to, like, debate on how many snaps you would get or how many targets I would say you would get that true freshman year. But welcome to Stadium Miguel, man.
Yes, sir.
Big fan.
Appreciate it.
So, Tank, first year at Florida, come in. You're speedster, certified speedster at UF. You come in. You play, you can kind of learn the difference between high school and college.
Yeah.
This year, there's, you know, an opportunity for a bunch of you guys at the wide receiver position to step up. You lose your top two guys. this season. What's your prep going into spring football now in anticipation of what next year is going to look like for you?
Honestly, just to get the fundamentals down, like little details, like little things like that. I feel like that's what I kind of was missing a little bit last year, and like not being like super detailed with certain things, like just little things like that, keep my body healthy and stuff like that.
And how much of that is just like I've got classes, I've got this whole new playbook, I've got a whole new teammate. I was just a senior, and now I'm a freshman at the bottom, just trying to like get in where you fit in. You don't even maybe even have time to focus on the details, and maybe things slow down for you now.
Yeah, it definitely slowed down for me a lot now, like knowing what to expect. Like I talk about all the time, like now I know what the like the next day would be and like how it would be. Last year I was kinda like, I don't know how tomorrow gonna be.
Today like, was tough. I don't know if tomorrow's gonna be
It can't possibly be worse than today.
That's
but
what I'm saying, like you kinda just going in every day kinda blinded. Like dang. Or like not knowing like how much like the plays and like stuff like that. Now I kinda know like I'm heading into.
Well, there's a lot more to it, right? Yeah. As like you get to college, you're not just that speedster that can outrun the other defense and you're going to be wide open. Mm-hmm. You're going to be asked to block and you're going to be covered by people that are also Division I athletes. So for you, this year, you know what to expect. Yeah. What do you expect out of yourself? What are you focusing on this year?
Honestly, just to be a better person than I was last year all around, like more just all around player, like not just being a fast guy, being able to get contested grabs, like stuff like that. Yeah, get yak. Well, I feel like people are underestimating my yak. I know, I mean, you know, but like this year, I'm really sure like that I can really get upfield and stuff like that.
A lot of fans want to know because Billy G gets some love, but he also gets it's a yin and yang with Billy G. What part of your game has Billy G kind of enhanced and helped you with along this process?
Honestly, toughness. Honestly, because he's big on like just toughness and stuff like that. So like. It kind of, like, getting here now, like, blocking and, like, stuff like that. And, like, just little details and stuff like that. He definitely helped me on a lot.
I wouldn't be surprised if Billy G had these boys hitting the sled. They block.
Yeah, Billy's no block, no
definitely
play.
Definitely can't be scared.
Yeah, that's Billy. If you're not blocking, you're not catching passes either.
You know what I'm saying? You definitely can't be scared of block. So, now me being, like, an undersized guy, so, like, now I'm, like not afraid to really go block with somebody that's, like, 200 pounds, you know? So, you just...
Right.
Are you the fastest guy in that room?
Yes.
Let's get to this. So, so I talked to T Miles. I asked for a 4x1 team.
Mm-hmm.
He had you, Cormani. Yeah. I didn't know Cormani and Demo slid like that.
Cormani's a blazer. I ain't gonna lie. Like, we ran recently.
He just got to the 23.
We ran recently. Yeah, he beat me. I'm going to be honest. But I ran faster than Miles Power, though, of course. You know. He slid. I'm not even going to lie. He got
about
it.
That's crazy.
I probably slipping once.
Nah, he bomb. I ain't even going to
That's good
like,
to hear, bro.
Like, he ran 23 flat, I think, miles per hour. I ran 22.
Oh, okay. That's,
yeah, he was sliding. I ain't gonna lie, he was definitely sliding. I was like,
and I didn't know Demo ran like that either.
Now I've always knew Demo. Like on my first last year around this time, Demo was definitely blazing. Like he's a slider.
And then Aiden was the last one. Now this might be where you differ from T Miles. I asked him, you can't just name four. You gotta position them.
Uh-huh.
And he had you in that third spot.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that.
He said Aiden's the anchor. He's got a little track background.
Not for sure, for sure.
And he's more of a long strider. Like, I think you're getting to the 30 to the 40 faster than him. But T Miles basically said he's getting from 40 to the 100 faster than you.
I'm bending myself.
Yes.
I'm bending myself.
I feel like that third position's important though. Like if you're behind, that's where you got.
Second and
fourth. I feel like second is.
Yeah, second and fourth are the two most important.
Yeah.
Always been last. Track, right? Always been the
you
last.
You look like a 100-meter runner. I don't know.
No, I ran the 400, and the best I ever finished was in sixth in the Heat B race.
Yeah.
As you can tell.
Oh no.
I ain't doing
the 400 is a very hard race.
No, it's tough.
I don't even know if you could complete a 400 right now.
You're telling on yourself. 4K.
I was a hockey player. You know what I mean? I was a goalie. We just did wall sets.
A lot of running.
I don't know what it's like to do endurance challenges.
But I brought that 4x1 to the track SID. He said y'all would be competitive against the actual track 4x1 team.
Yeah, I think so. Now they're definitely sliders though.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it wouldn't be a long stretch. Because me or Aiden or anybody else on the team were not letting them.
So who'd you have on your team? You had yourself, Aiden. Who else?
Cormani and
Demo.
Okay. And you put yourself fourth?
I'm going last.
Yeah, yeah.
You gotta be that anchor, man.
Yeah, I'll put Kamani first, and Aiden second, Demo third, and me.
So that way,
at that point, you're just jogging. At that point, I'm out of there.
But you get the glory. You get to raise your hands, cross the finish line, pull a Usain Bolt, look back.
You guys got some very talented freshman receivers on campus, man. Dallas Wilson, Brunell Brown III, Nayshawn Montgomery. How are those guys coming along? Like, what do you like, what you see out of those dudes?
They're doing great, honestly. From what I've been seeing, they definitely been doing good. Like, just keeping up with the playbook, like so far as what we've been going through already, they've been doing great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How the brotherhood been with y'all? I know when I was playing here, I played it from 15 to 19. When Billy got here, I feel like the receiver room got a lot closer.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
Josh Hare, Tyree Cleveland, Van Jefferson, like Freddie Swain, all those boys are like brothers. You couldn't catch them without each other.
Yeah.
So is it the same kind of now?
Yeah, it is. He talks about it all the time, like when we breaking down the huddle and like after meetings or before meetings, he always say like, we a family, like we all together, and we kind of treat like that. Like we wanna, like when we joking around, we always, you know.
Yeah, y'all the boys, man.
I'm always interested in that because like you're all fighting for snaps, but there's no jealousy in the room at all. And like even if you're not doing it, like so that you're the first person to jump up if Aiden scores or, or if Trey scores.
Yeah.
How do you guys handle that? I mean, also being young, thinking about the next level, and hey, I need to produce to do this. How do you guys stay, I guess it's the brotherhood, but how do you guys stay positive when it's celebrating somebody else's success?
Just honestly, just trying to just stay ready because you never know. You can go down for an injury.
Yeah.
Like last year, Trey went down and I think Aiden kind of went down and I kind of had to step up. Mm-hmm. Like I had really no idea how to just step up and be ready for the moment. That's what I'm saying. You gotta be ready for the moment. And you can't back down from it. So like
you got thrown in the deep end. Whether you had like, hey, by the way, those floaties on your arms, you're taking those off. You're in.
That's what I'm saying. So like, basically, just being ready and always know like it's a long season. Mm-hmm. Like, you feel me? Like people gonna have their little injuries and like moments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So just being ready.
What do you think was your moment last year, whether it was in camp or in the season, where you were like, I belong here. This isn't too big for me.
Yeah. You said like during the season. You said
either during the season or maybe it was a moment in camp.
For camp, I'll probably say the first scrimmage. I got hurt in the second one. Mm-hmm. The first one, I was going crazy, and I was like, I know I belong.
Yeah,
I was going crazy.
And then what was it like? Playing in front of 90 in the swamp, going to Tennessee, playing in front of 100.
Yeah. Honestly, it's crazy. It felt fake, honestly. Like, I didn't realize it was really happening until, like, after I caught the ball, when me and DJ scored, mm-hmm. like, through the touchdown, I was like, dang, we really in the end zone. Every day in the stretch line, I'm like, y'all got to fight for that moment every day. Yeah. I need that moment every time.
That's what's up.
Not a lot of people get that opportunity.
That's what I'm saying. You get so much time, too, to celebrate. I didn't think you in high school, you got to toss the ball.
All right, now the tank, but now Tank's got a choreographer. Whole dance routine.
I kind of zoned out, because I always have a picture in my head, like, what I'm going to do.
Right. Yeah.
But once it happened, I'm like, dang, I got, like, an hour and 30 minutes. I got a minute and 30 to do whatever I want. So I was just like, dang.
So we got some cellies already in your head coming for this year. You already
hopefully I do them. I probably won't do them.
Every time I cross the goal line, I black out and I forget the celly.
You just gonna get the run of it.
What was Cormani's celly was great. Just jumped into the stands.
Yeah, that was all like,
and then the whole team showed up.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was lit, man.
Yeah, I was
hyped in my living room about that, man.
You got your feet on the couch.
That's what I expected coming here. I expected stuff like moments like that.
Yeah.
Like the whole team around the field.
Yeah.
Like I seen like players who were injured on the field and everything. I'm like, that's lit.
Man, I thought you hurt your knee and that's running full speed.
I'm like, that's why I came here right there.
What's up, man. We'll let you get back to your friends and obviously thanks so much for supporting the Lagway Foundation today and best of luck this upcoming season, brother.
So appreciate it.
We appreciate
this is
you.
A Tank Hive podcast.
This is a Tank Hive. First
everybody
Tank Hive.
Everybody know what's up, man. Hey, thanks a lot.
Appreciate you. And back just a couple months later, is our man DeAndre Robinson. DeAndre, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. Glad to be back with you guys. We're gonna have a good time tomorrow. Put on the pads.
Oh, yeah. So practice starts, or hitting starts tomorrow. Big hitting starts tomorrow. Pads go on. Man, you got 11 more practices before the spring game. What are you hoping to accomplish over the next couple weeks, personally?
I'm just hoping to accomplish, like, a better pass rush for my game. I want to accomplish, like, the team. Like, we all give our effort and make sure all the brotherhood is still where it's supposed to be. I want to make sure everybody get healthy. And then I just want to compete. All the guys want to compete. We got a veteran alignment, so that just make the D-line better, iron sharp iron.
I got a question for you, man. Like, I'm interested in that nose tackle, defensive tackle spot, man. We got Caleb Banks that's out right now. And also my man Lyons is coming back from injury from last year. Are they cross-training you between defensive tackle, nose tackle? And if so, what's that like?
Yes, I've been doing that since last season, been cross-training. Right now, I'm playing mostly in, but they told me I'm going to be playing a little bit of nose this coming week, a little bit of nose and in, but I'm mostly going to be playing in. It's been pretty successful. I mean, I feel like I can play anyone on defensive linemen, so I feel like it's just a win-win situation for me.
Sure.
When they put you in nose, though, what's it like going up against 6'6"?
Oh, yeah, Jake Slaw, that's my boy. That's actually my workout partner.
Okay.
That's my workout partner. So he's been getting me stronger in the weight room. I done got way stronger working out with Jake.
He's going to have to face that soon this week. He's going to probably regret helping you out in the weight room.
He said
and start shoving him behind his back.
Yes, sir. So going against Jake Slaughter is good because he was a first team All-American. So knowing if I can go against him and win a couple of reps here, win a couple of reps there, it's a win-win situation for me.
You're going to go and rape the SEC after you're done.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because there's not a lot of people that can say they got a first-team All-American center.
Exactly. That's that iron sharpens iron?
Yes, sir. There's only one, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, only one,
DeAndre. So talk to me about practice, right? So Florida's returning a lot of guys and a lot of talent on the offensive line. You guys are very talented on the defensive line. You're going to win some reps. You're going to lose some reps. What's that like? What's that practice experience like for both of you, knowing that you're going to probably perform better against some teams during the season, but you might be getting held up by the guys that are on your own team? It's going to get a little frustrating at times, no?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I practice is super, super feisty when it comes to the trenches because, you know, we got the O-line, they love each other. We got D-line, we love each other. So the coaches go at it, the players go at it. We always super feisty at practice. Day one, we didn't even have pads on, but we was out there, everybody like, just out there super feisty, about to fight. You know what I'm saying? They just want to win, everybody losing and winning, and it's just super feisty. But we love it, though, because after we went to the locker room, we was laughing about it, talking about it, and everything was just cool.
One time that I think the line was kind of getting into it last year, and then Gerald Chapman was screaming, "Brothers fight! Brothers fight!" And I kind of get that. Like, listen, when we're out there, our helmets are on, we're competing, it might be one thing, you get in the locker room, it's kind of squashed by the time you're there.
Yes, sir.
What's that number change looking like? You talked a little bit while we was hanging out in mingling, and I've been asking you, like, you changing that number? Where we at with it, man?
Right now, for spring right now, I'm still in 35. I talked to Coach Nate about a new number. I talked to Coach Chapman right now. I'm just sitting there trying to earn my number, prove that I deserve to get my number changed.
That's real,
now. But that's how it's supposed to be. What number are we looking at?
I want number 6. So I'm going to work my hardest to get number 6. You know, Shamar James old number.
That be going to look clean.
That's what I had in high school. So I'm trying my best to get it.
Dunlap wore 8. That's Dante Fowler.
Dante Fowler wore 6. Yeah, that's right.
You got to get your Chucky dog.
Same mistake on the show.
You got to carry that Chucky dog if you get 6 100%, man.
What'd you take away? I think we talked a little bit about this last time, but what'd you take away last year? Having to kind of like wait your time and then some injuries happen, and then all of a sudden you get an opportunity, make a play, that gives you more opportunity. Yes, what did you learn maybe just about being patient, about yourself, and about, hey, I'm good enough to hang here in the SEC?
Coming in, I was on scout team. Like you said, I going to get Jake Slaughter and all them guys. I was over there. The offense helped the offense out, but I was over there killing. So I just knew, like, something was going to happen. It was going to be my time to shine. When it came, I knew I was going to perform. So I just learned throughout that process, I just learned that little steps help you get to the big goals.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to tell the young guys that's in our new room that you just got to keep going little by little to get to the bigger goals.
How'd you handle being on scout team mentally?
Mm-hmm.
Were you okay with it? Like, hey, it's going to happen? Or you look and you're like, wait, I'm on where?
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie. Some days I have my days where I was like, man, I don't know how long I can do this. Like, I'm competitive. Like, I'm over there. I'm like, I'm killing. Why I'm not getting the opportunity? And then I went and got my tutoring. I'm still killing. So, I mean, some days I have my days. I had to talk to Coach. Coach Adam is a great guy. Mm-hmm. I was over there talking to Coach Adam. He told me my time is coming. Just be patient. Mm-hmm. Even though you don't want to hear that when you're at my age. But, like, I just had to deal with it. And then he promised that I was going to get my opportunity. And I got it. And then my thing.
Promise made, promise kept.
Yes, right. Sir.
So what goals you got set out for yourself this year? You got any goals in mind that you're trying to complete by the end of the season, individual, team, it don't matter?
Of course, I want to get at least 6 to 8 sacks this year.
Okay.
For sure. Easy. That's I want to be on a rush team. I want a defensive lineman. I want to get my boy Caleb. He got to go to the league this year. Mm-hmm. My boy Caleb got to go to the league.
Everybody got to get off. You know what I'm saying? Everybody stop, go up.
A lot of people don't talk about Brian Taylor, but he been working. He been working. My boy been showing super good improvement on the field. That's my boy. That's like my big bro to me. Okay. We super close. And then for a team-wise, you know, we want Natty.
Yeah,
that's a team goal for sure. Yeah.
No, give me hype, dog. Like, start talking that natty talk, bro. Like, I get hyped a little bit. Who had that nose tackle spot? Because we got a few guys out, and we lost a couple there. You know,
Big Shiv.
Big Shiv 99 looking for show with it.
Like, Big Shiv, yeah.
It looked like he wanted to take over that Deshaun Watson position for sure.
Yeah.
But what are you seeing in the nose tackle position? Because a lot of fans want to know what that position is looking like.
Makai Burrow. He's definitely, like, he's super smart on the field. Like, in practice, throughout the first week, he called him, like, birds, like, passes. Everybody knows the pass down because of him. It's all over film. We got, you know, Big Shivers, like y'all said. And we got Tavares Brown. He's been playing a little bit of nose now. And then, you know, we got Jamari Lyons. He still come back from injury, but he's been doing some indie in practice. Mm-hmm. So, he's looking better. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he was having a great offseason before last year, before the injury.
Yeah.
To the point where we're like, dang, he might earn a starting rep, and obviously the injury happens, so it's good to see him getting back. It's only Indy, but it's also only spring.
Yes, sir.
You expect him to be ready for the fall.
Yes, sir.
Which one of the new guys on the defensive line is impressing you?
I'd say Jeremiah McLeod.
Okay.
Jeremiah McLeod, he's definitely he got some twitch to him. He's got to learn. Yeah, he's definitely a sleeper. Like, he's small, but he's been gaining weight. And then I'll say in the edge room, I'll say Woods.
Yeah. Jaden Woods, that's the name to keep hearing.
Yeah, that boy work hard. He don't talk much. He gonna work. Every time you'll see him, like, after practice, he's over there getting some extra work. Mm-hmm. Or you'll come to the weight room, and he's already on the field doing some hand work, trying to get some extra work. And then he's a warrior in the weight room, I heard. So,
he's not in your group?
Huh?
He's not in your group?
No, I work at 12:30. He work out earlier, but I just been hearing.
I would be in your group. That 6:30 a.m. workout, that's for the birds. No, thank you.
That's a freshman workout.
Put him in the punter group. Yeah, defensive tackle group. They don't put you in that group, man. It don't go by, like, time. It's going by positions, man.
Class schedule?
That too, my bad.
I usually go by class schedule.
Okay.
So he was right.
Y'all would have ran Nick out of the room, though. But
back in the day.
What spring overall? Like, I know y'all haven't gotten into the past yet, and like for the trenches, I know y'all been battling a little bit. But before we get into pass here, like, what's it been like so far, man?
So far, it's been super competitive. Like, we have had pass on. Like, everybody just want to make sure everybody getting each other better. Like you said, like, everybody just want to fight and get to where they want to be, and everything just been super competitive. And locker room been good, weight room been good. Like, everybody know the standards. We trying to build our identity, so that's really what it's about right now.
It seems like the culture has now kind of been set, and even for the new guys as you come in, it's like, hey, this is what we do. This is the expectation. This is the culture. You can get in where you fit in, or you can go somewhere else.
Yes, sir.
But like, this is the standard that you have to meet now.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely what it is.
And then one of those guys, I think, that has helped that, he's not in your room, but he says he peeks his head into your room every once in a while. 94, Tyreek Sapp.
Definitely.
He's an old head now.
He always calls me now.
He's an old head now. What is he like as a teammate and as a leader? He's coming off his best year in college, and I joke with him that it was his 12th year in college.
One thing about Sapp, like, he's a good person off the field. He'll come hang out with you no matter. He don't care that he's an old head. He's going to come hang out with you. The Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They had Cook. Sapp came over. He was eating, just hanging out with us. And then on the field, he's a dog. Like, he don't get tired. And if he is tired, you're not gonna see that he's tired because he always got energy. He'll make sure he'll give you some football knowledge. Like, he'll tell you how he made this move and how he knew if something was coming. Like, he's just a great person, a great football player overall.
I've seen some dance moves from him.
Oh yeah.
I thought he was a little old. old to do that.
Should we have a dance off?
Looks like Tyree Sapp's been watching TikTok. There were some sack sellies. I was like, what are those knees
moving? Trying to get the sellies right there. Sure. Yeah, you feel me?
Do you have any sack sellies playing?
I don't know. Now, listen, I got
you
like two.
You understand what will happen if you get a yellow flag?
Oh yeah.
For a sack sellie. So you got? Do you plan on? How do you plan to not have to do like extra running for getting a penalty after a sack, while still keeping the sellie fresh?
You got to do something like something a little slick real quick. Yeah, something like slick real quick. Yeah. Yeah, and then pop back on defense.
Calling a 22-year-old an old head though has got me feeling ancient right now.
Boy, yeah, Tyreek Sapp graduated high school with my younger sister, who's 9 years younger than me. Not calling him an old head.
Yeah, that's nuts. Deontre, man, we appreciate it. We'll let you get back to the festivities, dude. Appreciate you coming in, and best of luck this season. Go get it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother.
We're back with Rod Kearney, man. Excited to have Rod Kearney in from Duval. Duval. One of my favorite counties in Florida. Shout out to Duval County. Rod, man, appreciate you for joining the show today. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of hype about the Gators' offensive line this year. DJ Lagway said that you guys were the best offensive line in the SEC going in this year, maybe the best in the country. A lot of improvement over the last couple years at the offensive line. Kind of what's your mindset going into this, you know, upcoming year, and how are you guys attacking spring football?
I feel like we got a lot of guys that's willing to work together. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of guys that's vets in the room, so a lot of leaders. You know, myself coming up, you know, playing guard and stuff, watching Damian George and Jake Slaughter and Barber.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We got Najee Harris as well and Bryce Lovett stepping up and some other younger guys. I feel like we coming in with a mindset that we're going to take it all. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be handed to us. You know what I'm saying? Coach Sell, Coach Caleb, and Coach DaCosta. You know what I'm saying? Our O-line coaches are really on us and, you know, really helping us to be great. So,
go ahead.
What's it been like for you, like, just from us fans? Like, we've been watching you kind of alternate between guard and center. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite position to play if you have one?
Offensive guard. I mean, I'm going to play wherever they put me. You know what I'm saying? I just want to touch the field, whatever, to help the team. But offensive guard, you know what I'm saying? That's mainly where I'm going to be at right now.
Okay. What's the difference? Like, playing center, does it, like, snapping the ball? Like, is it preferable side of guard? But, like, what's the difference between you playing guard and you playing center?
I feel like center is more of, like, the QB of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the second QB on the offense. Like, you got to control, you know what I'm saying, if it's pressures, mm-hmm. you're changing what's your call. You kind of, you know what I'm saying, controlling everything. Whereas guard, you put your hand in the ground and go get it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Center is, you know, you do the same thing at center as well, but I feel like it's a more leadership role playing center and guard. You just there, you know what I'm saying, working with the guy to the left of you or the guy to the right of you.
Okay. You guys are returning four of your five starters on the offensive line this year. You guys made huge strides last year. Going into spring this year, as you guys continue to get better, you've now been here, this is your fourth year?
Going into
your third year here. What's your focus now? I know it's getting better, but what are you focusing on specifically?
I feel like I'm going into a bigger role. You know what I'm saying? I'm just grinding right now. You know, I'm already in tune with the playbook. My body, gaining over 20 pounds. Getting ready to, you know, just make a bigger impact on the team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Be a role player now, you know what I'm saying? Just lead the guys around me, you know what I'm saying, to bring them up as well. So
how's the relationship between the running back room and the offensive line? I feel like that's a real strong one that always has to be a good connection. I remember my time playing here when it used to be special teams period, some of the running backs who weren't on special teams used to go over with the O-line while they going over run schemes and stuff like that. That's just time to get a little bit of extra stuff in with the guys. Like, do y'all get some extra stuff in like that? Like, how's the relationship with the running back from
LA? Oh, yeah, we tight. We real locked in. I feel like a lot of the guys, you know what I'm saying, we got team camaraderie, outside of football. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
We kind of, like, hang out a lot of time, spend a lot of time together, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good, though.
You know, normally stuff that other people not really doing. Like, we on the game all the time together.
Yeah, see?
We, you know what I'm saying, a little small stuff like that. That's going to bring,
matter, man.
You know what I'm saying, outside
that's
of football, good. But... You know what I'm saying? We build a connection to where, you know what I'm saying, we're going to ride or die for each other. Like,
right.
know what I'm saying? Don't touch my running back. Like, yeah, get off my running back. Like,
right, yeah.
So things like that kind of, like, brought us closer together. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of got that. And still, like, don't touch Lagway. Right. You touch Lag, it's up. When you touch one of our running backs, it's up. So, you know what I'm saying? That kind of made us closer.
I kind of seen that happen towards the end of the season. The run game started, like, picking up game after game. We looked more comfortable with our routine runs, whether it was inside zone, outside zone. The running backs was finding holes, and y'all was creating holes for them boys. So I'm glad to hear that y'all connected, man. But I think I have one more question for you as far as just, like, team camaraderie. Like, what do you feel is, like, the biggest point that you guys are missing as a team? Like, what can y'all improve on as a team for this upcoming season, if anything?
I feel like, you know, being more consistency. Like, I feel like Coach Napier is really helping us to be more consistent. You know, as a team, you know what I'm saying? Having a set routine and going in there and doing it every day, no matter what. You know, it's ripples. If it's a ripple, we're going to fix the ripple, and then we're going to get back up and keep going.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
Staying consistent is going to be the name of the game. You know what I'm saying? Having those players who's coming back, you know what I'm saying? Bringing new players up to replace old players or, you know what I'm saying? Just things like that. Just being consistent in what we're doing.
That's nice.
What's Coach DeCoster like? You know, he was hired kind of late in the cycle last year. We don't know a ton about him. He doesn't get a lot of media time. What's he like as a coach?
Oh, he's a great guy, great coach, big family guy. So he real technical. Like, when it comes to technique and stuff, he's on it. You know what I'm saying? So we learn a lot from him. I feel like he's a really huge impact in, you know, the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Like, he really made us a lot better. You know what I'm saying? And then outside of that, you know what I'm saying, you can talk to him. You know what I'm saying, about anything. So, you know, just having him really, like, helped us, you know what I'm saying, connect on all cylinders.
So I know the rules in the NCAA have changed about how many coaches you can have on the field and everything else, but for a long time, for the first 3 years of Billy Napier, he was one of the only coaches, if not the only coach, to have two offensive line coaches in college football. And sometimes the fans would bemoan that and say, hey, they could use a special teams coach or a coach here or a coach there. Obviously, the offensive line group is 15, 16, 17, 18 players deep. It's a super technical role. It's a position that a lot of players have to grow into in year two, year three, year four. Right. You don't have a lot of freshmen starting. Talk about the role that, you know, Rob Sale and Jonathan DeCoster had and how they were different. Or Rob Sale and, remind me, the old other offensive line coach.
Coach Stapleton?
Yeah, Coach Stapleton. Talk to me about kind of what their roles were and how you balance having two different position coaches.
I feel like, you know, different players could connect with different coaches.
Yeah,
right. I feel like having Coach Sale and Coach DeCoster, they complement each other. Just like we had Coach Stapleton and Coach Sale, they complement each other. So I feel like having both of them is the best of two worlds. Mm-hmm. I feel like Coach Sale, he's more gritty, more like, you know what I'm saying, we're going to do this. Than having Coach DeCoster as well, where you can, like, you can connect with both of them, but sometimes you're going to connect better with other people. But them having each other, I feel like it helps. We got younger players. We got freshmen coming in. Like, I was a freshman myself. I feel like I have needed more time to develop. But having multiple O-line coaches where some days I go in Coach Sale's office and be like, what's up, Coach? I want to talk about this. Or whether it's football or not, or, you know what I'm saying, he might be in the meeting. I got the call, so I can go talk to, run through some plays, you know what I'm saying, go over stuff like that. So I feel like they really complement each other.
What's that? Man, you guys are well-spoken. Like, every dude we brought in to here, man, has just been, like, super well-spoken, man. Billy definitely does a good job with vetting you guys and, you know, through the recruiting process. Just want to give those flowers out. But through the strength and conditioning program, like, just watching your body change a little bit, and it's a steady thing, right? Because a lot of offensive linemen look sloppy. Yeah. You know, like, what's that process been like of gradually gaining good weight in the strength and conditioning program?
I feel like Coach T. Miles, you know what I'm saying, him stepping up and becoming our head strength coach has, you know, impacted everybody a lot, you know what I'm saying? Me coming in as a freshman, wearing 265 to now wearing 315, you know what I'm saying? Just
a clean 315.
Yeah. And it ain't easy to put on weight. Nice. It's harder to put on weight than it is to lose for real.
Yeah. yeah, I just feel like, you know, and in our nutrition staff, you know what I'm saying, I feel like they do a great job as well. So, you know what I'm saying, them, us having them too, you know, kind of helped me, you know, put on great, good lean mass and, you know what I'm saying, just helped me develop more so I can perform better on the field.
That helped you pull better? Like how athletic do you feel? Like, the weight gain, have you felt any loss of speed or anything that?
I actually feel more powerful, you know, more explosive. Right. You know what I'm saying? We do a lot of stuff where you, like, change direction, you know what I'm saying? Going, stopping, you know what I'm saying? I feel like the weight hasn't really affected me. I feel like it has made me better. You know what I'm saying? It's more lean mass, so that's good. That's good mass.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rob, we're going to let you go, brother. Appreciate you for your hard work and dedication. Yeah, best of luck this season, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, appreciate it.
Cheers. We're back with DeBron Hampton, wide receiver from Willis, Texas. DJ Lagway's high school roommate or a high school teammate. DeBron, man, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Receiver at the University of Florida. You know, God has blessed me a lot. Came a long way. Just spring practice is going very well. You know, I've just been working. Just ready to get going.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
You're a speedster. What does it mean to be your DJ Lagway's teammate in high school? You come to college at UF. What's that relationship translate from the high school field to the college field? And what's your experience been like as a walk-on?
Well, how long have you known DJ too?
Been knowing DJ since Little League. I think five years old.
Yeah, our boys go back. Same
way
we're
back.
Talking about, like,
yes, sir.
Like stand next to each other at wedding kind of relationship.
Yes, sir. The transition's been very smooth. You know, still hang tight. You know, outside football and on the field, it's amazing. So that chemistry, that connection, is still there.
It's been a lot of buzz, man. Talking with Nick, he used to hang around a little bit longer than the average media guy. And the buzz on Twitter, you know, seeing your name pop up on special teams, punt returner type things, watching the clips. I got my eye on you last year in fall camp. Some of those clips popped out. I'm like, who is that running them routes right there, man? I didn't recognize the number as part of the scholarship guys. So what's it been like just, you know, trying to find your way in a very talented wide receiver room?
It's been great. Coach Gonzalez has done a very amazing way with all the receivers, all the talent in the room. And Coach Napier knows how to utilize all of our talent. And so it's just been a great transition. They treat everybody the same, equal opportunity. It's an amazing, great environment to be in.
Do you have a chip on your shoulder? Like, you got to prove a little bit more because you're a walk-on?
Oh, most definitely. Yes, sir. It's a lot to prove to myself and to everybody else.
Right. That's real.
What is Billy like? We were just talking to Tank, and Jordan played here when Billy was wide receivers coach. I think the first thing we say about Billy is, if you don't block, you don't play.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
I'm guessing you didn't.
Oh yeah.
I'm guessing you weren't asked to block much in high school. What is it like to learn how to block? And does he have you guys, like, hitting sleds at practice?
Oh yeah, sir. We all bag drills, pads. You know, we fit in everything. Mm-hmm. He's like, you gotta block. You know, I just like. We're a family. We say that in the receiver room, we're a family. So, you know, we want to see each other succeed. Mm-hmm. So we're doing the best. We're going all out for each other. That's just the whole team pretty much this year. We've been very close. We've came a long way.
Does that stuff pop up? Does he bring it up in films? I remember plays last year. I'm like, dang, Chim's blocking 35 yards down the field.
Oh, yes, sir.
And like springing something deep down the field. Is that something that he shows Sunday, Monday?
Yes, that's something we practice. Mm-hmm. We run a route, and if we don't catch it, turn and peel. Get a field, block somebody, you know, so we can get, you know, yards after the catch or yards after the run. Mm-hmm. This is just for every running backs, receivers. Goes for everybody. Yes, sir.
What goes into your decision-making process? Because you're a talent. I know you have full scholarship offers, right? And you and DJ got this relationship. And when you're making that decision to come to the University of Florida, like, what are you thinking? Because you're coming here with a different type of sacrifice. So what's your mind frame when going into that decision?
Better myself. Better myself, right. Believe in myself, you know. God has blessed me with a lot of skills and a lot of ability to get open. Maybe people miss in the open field, so I'm just better on myself. I believe in myself.
Fair enough. I like that right there.
Push all in on yourself.
Yes, right. Sir, all in.
You gotta love that, man. So I know he mentioned earlier it's a very competitive room and a receiver room. Do you feel like those guys kind of make you elevate your game every day? They kind of force you to put that extra work in at the practice, whether that's extra drills, working some releases. Like, How do you feel? Do you feel like those guys can, you can kind of get information from them as well?
Yes, sir. This is a very friendly environment. They push me every day.
Right.
Everybody goes in, gets extra work, recovery, every treatment. So it's what did you do extra? And what separates you from the bunch? And you just like push me every day. It's a very talented receiver room.
Even
the new guys that just came in, very talented. So, you know, it's always going to be a grind.
Yeah, that's how
it works, man. Push yourself.
You push yourself and get better, you'll end up being at the top. You know, they always say hard work beats talent, and talent don't work hard. So if you can continue to push yourself every day, man, on, like you said, like y'all competing to see who's done more extra work. Like, I love to hear that when it's coming from a receiver group or any group on the football team. And, like, just y'all boys able to not be selfish enough to pick off each other. Like, let's just say BB trying to work on his releases and get his releases. Like, you staying with him after you giving him some pointers on releases or anything like that. Just the small stuff where one person may be better at something than the other. So, like, let's not be selfish and gatekeep some good information and spread the love to
each
other.
Helping.
So,
yes, sir.
That was something that stuck out to me. I went back up to the media room, realized I had left my laptop down in the IPF. And it looked like the whole receiver room lined up by the jugs. And I was like, I want to know who leads that, or is that just a team decision? How long are y'all staying after every practice getting jugs in?
Coach usually, you know, gets 100 balls after practice. 100. Well, Ricky mm-hmm. Pearsall set that daily, every day, 100 mm-hmm. balls a day. Coach. And so, you know, Coach, he brought that up. He was like, y'all want to be great. You know, look at the people that have done it before y'all.
First round.
This was Ricky's
first round talent. Yes, sir. 100 balls every day, so we all, you know, come together, you know, after lifts or after practice, 100 balls. If you get 50 after lift, 50 after practice, or before, or just whenever, you know, we have time.
You guys hold each other accountable to that, too?
Yes, sir.
Love that.
That's fire, man. Like, having a little peep in behind the scenes, watching your mom and DJ Ladway's mom, the relationship there, watching DJ's dad even share your tweets on the timeline, encouraging you to work harder and to stay at it. What's that family dynamic like with your family and their family?
It's a blessing.
Go ahead, finish the question.
Oh, it's a blessing, you know, having them around, you know, like my people. They're around all the time, but it's also a best blessing to have some more support.
Right.
You know, they always make sure I'm okay and make sure, you know, we're all straight. Great people. I love them. They're like a second family to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, entering the room right now is DJ, man.
If you can't tell.
it got a little loud of here, man. But definitely, man, we rooting for you, man. Big fan of the game, the work you're putting in. And I believe, man, I know you believe yourself. I don't have to tell you. You're betting on yourself a little bit here, but stay at it, man. Your time is coming here, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Awesome, man.
Yes,
appreciate you.
Appreciate you, brother. Best of luck.
Thank you. I never played receiver here.
Yeah. Play running back.
That's why he's interested about your blocking, because he's like, oh, yeah, let me get those guys.
Yes, sir, I got you. We're back again, this time with the man of the hour, DJ Ladway, at the announcement of the DJ Ladway Foundation. DJ, tell us a little bit about the DJ Ladway Foundation. What inspired you to create the foundation and ultimately what you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, what inspired me to launch this foundation was really my grandmother, you know, what she did in my community growing up and just helping all my friends and other family and just seeing the impact she left on people. You know, that's something I want to continue and bring across the country. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
How'd you decide on UF Health?
You know, I just feel like the collaboration was mutual. You know, it kind of clicked from the beginning. And, you know, I just, the things that they wanted to do and it connected exactly what me and my family believe in, and I'm excited for the partnership.
Absolutely.
It's been quite a couple of days for you. Made news Saturday with your contribution to women's sports. Just what made you decide to give back to the women athletes here in Florida?
Yeah, you know, I really just wanted to bring awareness to a mm-hmm. cause. You know, I feel like women, they put it just as much as work in as male athletes do. Mm-hmm. So I feel like just giving them their flowers, you know, and letting the world know that they do the same thing that we do, you know, if not better sometimes. So, you know, just giving them their flowers mm-hmm. and just putting awareness to a cause was kind of my thing with that.
We said it a lot, like, give people their flowers before the funeral.
You got to give them their flowers while they're still alive. Mm-hmm. It means more. What's it like just watching your teammates in the building? You can see the leadership exudes. Like, the players are gravitating towards you. But what's it like to finally take, you know, we saw you at the end of the year. you know, start to be that leader. But what's it like to be the official leader of this team right now?
It feels good. You know, I kind of, it's just happened naturally. You know, I never tried to overstep any boundaries, never tried to do something out of my body, out of my character. So I feel like that's what the guys respect about me. I'm not going to do nothing that's just out of the ordinary or do nothing out of character. And so I'm just going to do what I do. And they respect that about me. They know what they're going to get every time I step on the field and off the field. So, yeah.
A little story I heard you tell Derek Wingo. Game 2 last year, yeah. You guys are in the huddle before you go in to get dressed. And Derek said, you kind of looked at him. You're like, all right, break it down. And he looked at you. You're like, no, it's your time. And the TV kind of caught that moment.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I was like, oh, man, like these guys are locked in on some 18-year-old kid from Texas. Listening to every word he's saying. What was that moment like? What was the maybe non-verbal communication between you and Derek in that moment?
You know, it was a cool little moment, you know, like, because I wasn't expecting, I haven't broken down all year, you know, I was right. All right, let's go, like, what you got for me? You know, you got it, I was like, okay, let's go, like, this ain't nothing new to me, like, I've been doing this since high school, so,
right.
Just with, you know, different guys, and they respected everything I said, because, like, everybody can't just get in and break the team down, especially before a game, some people laugh at you, like, nah, you know, I'm not the right, who next? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for like, real.
So it was pretty cool that they listened to me and kind of got the tone set. So.
So you don't think I could break the team down before you?
Nah, yeah, we'll lie.
Stop. Oh, man. So transitioning to the field a little bit, man, I love watching your game, as we all mentioned. But one thing I really love about your game, man, is how poised you are through it all. Like, you out in front of 90,000 making plays, or even sometimes you don't make the best play, you throw an interception. The way you come back on the following drive is really impressive to me, man. Like, You want that, flush it away, and you ready to play ball. Like you said, them boys trust you, and they really got a lot of, like, trust in you. I see that. So what's going through your head, man? How do you stay so poised? And, like, just take me through a little bit of process of how you feeling on game day.
Nah, yeah, game day, you can ask my teammates. I'm a different type of guy. Yeah. Man. Like, okay, I'm real laid back right now, but on game day, kind of.
Yeah, you be turned up, yeah.
Like, I can't explain it, but, yeah. like what you were talking about, like, me, you know, like, having the poise after a bad play, you know, yeah. I just, like, this is a testament to my team and, like, how they believed in me. So it was the Kentucky game. I had threw an interception.
Right.
It got, like, to the 10. It was a close game. Got down to the 10, and I came off the sideline, and, oh, my God, like, the defense was like, we got you. Right. We're going to get a stop.
Yeah, that's probably
and that made me feel, and they ended up getting a stop, you know, and we went down and scored the next drive.
That's that momentum right there.
And that was kind of like a factor, like a moment for me, is like realize that these guys really care about me, you know.
Yeah.
It don't matter how bad or good I do, like, mm-hmm. they're gonna have my back. And that was the biggest thing for me this year, that I seen, like, wow, these guys really care about me.
Yeah, man, that's real Gator love right there. Yeah. Y'all heard it here first, man. The Gator boys is coming for y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it should be everybody's excited for this upcoming season, man. But I think the staff did a great job putting some weapons around you. The players we already had with Aiden Mazzell and the guys that are returning, but also Dallas Wilson coming into the fold, Vernell Brown and Nation Montgomery. What's your feel on those freshmen that are just getting on campus?
That smile said everything. You start naming guys.
You got to give Dawson credit now. He was doing some recruiting to himself.
Oh, 100%.
Trying to get these guys ready. You got to have guys around you to make things happen. So, and I'm excited for these young fellas to get out here and get to work. Man, it's going to be fun. And I'm excited just to go out there and ball with him. You know?
Jordan was up around the team, and he texted us. He's like, yo, Dallas Wilson's huge. And then I saw him in person. What was your first impression? I said he looks like a 5-star linebacker physically who runs and moves like a 5-star receiver.
Man, it's different. You know?
I'm telling you, I was like, ooh. I was excited watching. I'm like, we got some weapons. We got some. He's supposed to be the puppies. They looking like big dogs. I'm happy. But if the puppies looking like big dogs, we in good shape here. So
it's going to be good.
What's it like bringing in? You got you've got some returning wide receivers, right? Not a ton of production. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still stepping up into their game. You add a couple new guys. You add J. Mike to the mix there. What's that first couple weeks and first couple months like, getting your timing down, communication down, routes down? What's that process like for you?
It's been good, you know, just going out there and running routes with the guys, you know, and just figuring out how they do releases, what they like, how they like the ball, like, you know, like little things like that. And I feel like the receiver room has been competing their butts off, you know, because they know. It's only 4 to 3 spots on the field, so whoever's gonna make it. And I feel like that's enhanced the level of the practice, the intensity of everything, so I feel like it's been great.
We had your mom on the podcast a few months ago. We talked about what Graham Mertz meant to you, and then we heard you on the the Robert Griffin podcast a couple days ago talk about Graham Mertz's impact on you. Now the roles are reversed a little bit. Yeah. You're that guy. You've got some young quarterbacks around you. You bring in Harrison Bailey as well. How have you taken on that role as being the mentor, not just the mentee?
I really just treat it, you know, like that's my brother, you know. It's like, you know, we're not talking about who's starting, who not. It's just about us, you know, like trying to figure this thing out together because I'm still young, you know. So, like, especially me and Tramiel, like, that's my guy. Like, all of them, Aiden, Harrison, all of them, AJ, all of them, Lawrence, Paul, Clay, all of them, man. Those are my guys. And, like, we've been through a lot together, you know, especially with last season and just the roller coaster of emotions there. And, you know, and adding a couple new pieces, it's been great. Like, everybody's meshing well together. Everybody's helping each other try to figure this thing out because it's been good, though.
It's awesome.
There's been some talk about, like, this week with Callaway and reading some articles from some of the writers talking about new personnel sets and the way that the offense may look different this fall. What are your outlooks on this offense and how do we grow to that next level? Because you're going into your sophomore year. Usually there's a jump there. What are your expectations with the offense going into your sophomore year?
No, yeah, I'm excited. You know, just second year in the offense, that's huge. You know, you know the ins and outs of it. You know, last year just trying to learn it, just trying to figure out what your responsibility is. Now I could take a seat back and see the defense, know what they're running, knowing the weakness of the coverage so I can attack that coverage, knowing the pressure so I can slide the protection, little things like that to put my team in the best situation. So that's what I'm excited for.
I got one more question. How much did that the lack of being able to use your legs and the RPO towards the end of the season? I thought one of my takes was I thought it was going to advance you, and next year you having to sit in the pocket and not be able to use one of your assets, which is your legs and RPO. How much did that limit you, and how much growth did you gain from not being able to use your legs at the end of the year?
That was a blessing, you know. I hated it happen at the time it happened, you know. I feel like we were having momentum, you know, but I feel like everything happens for a reason. You know, God will sit you down for reasons and to help you figure out things, you know, and I feel like that was a moment of figuring out how to, you know, play this game at an elite level without using my legs, you know, especially stepping into, you know, playing in the SEC, you know. I can't rely on my athletic ability really anymore like that because everybody else around you is athletic. So kind of just learning how to play in the pocket, I feel like that definitely gave me confidence, you know. And this is like, I ain't gonna lie to you, this, I don't know if y'all really know this stat, but I didn't even have a rushing touchdown the whole season. That never happened before in my life. So I'm excited to get the legs back, but also enhance the throwing abilities as well. So it's
it was impressive, man, watching you be able to play within the pocket as a young, like, you know, obviously you're a young talent, man. You came in early on the big scene, like, to be able to come in there like that and have something like that taken away from you and still perform at a high level, sky's the limit for you,
man,
bro.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Still able to stiff arm and throw a 400-pound dude off you while completing a pass out west.
That was beast mode right there.
Absolutely. Well, DJ, man, we appreciate everything that you're doing for UF Health, for your foundation. We appreciate you joining the show tonight. And, man, best of luck next season, and we're rooting for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Awesome.
Go Gators.
Appreciate you. Go Gators.
Gators, yes, man.
Thank you.
Go Gators. Hey, great show, fellas. Great show, man. A lot of great content for the Stadium Miguel fans. Had a great time hanging out here at the DJ Lagway Foundation lunch at Steve Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Star-studded event. Plenty of great interviews. I love this vest.
Mm. Peter Millar.
Yeah, looks like it. It looks like you're a day trader by day and podcast host by night.
Similar bank accounts, me and the day trader.
Yeah, okay, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. There's probably, I don't know, 250, 300 people here today. They raised a ton of money. A piece of artwork went for over $8,000. They sold off a cruise package. They sold off some signed autographed memorabilia. Ultimately, a ton of money raised for the DJ Lagway Foundation, UF Health tonight. So we appreciate everybody for helping us put this on. And a lot of great interviews, a lot of great personality, and definitely a team that's one to root for. Mm. Whether you root for the Gators or not, definitely a bunch of guys that are worth rooting for.
Yeah, we joked, me definitely, joked a lot about Billy Napier saying great men make great football players. Yeah. I was like, 06, 07, there's not my great men. But
goons.
If there is a poster boy for that, for Napier saying that, it's DJ Lagway.
Yeah.
A better person than he is a football player and damn good football player.
Definitely. Yeah, a great group of guys, man. Everybody that came in here, like I told Roger, man, just impressed with the way they speak, the way they carry themselves, like, there's a culture that he's building. We just got to get these wins and get to the playoffs and do some things. But I like what's being built. So I enjoyed myself, man. Enjoyed you guys. Sure. First time all of us together. Well, you know, the drinks were flowing. The vibes were flowing. Right. Great content. I can't complain, man.
I can't lie. I feel good. After talking to some of the players, I feel good about this season. Gave me a little bit more confidence.
Drinking the Kool-Aid. Drinking the juice. They feel
confident. I'm all in, man. I love it. I like for us to really get some wins.
Kalizzi said something. I felt so good.
Right? I was like,
yeah, ready to go.
All them boys ready to go, and I love it.
My brother asked Roger on his way out of the interview, he's like, hey, you got anybody kind of dialed in on the schedule this year? He said, everybody.
That's the kind of energy I like.
I like it.
Got 12 bullets. You're taking 12 shots.
Yeah, he was dead serious. He looked right in his eye. Everybody.
It was quick, too. No hesitation.
Yeah, no hesitation. I like that type of focus, man.
Well, we appreciate DJ Lagway and his group. Want to give one final announcement for our sponsors, Greg Brunt with Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Game Time Sidekicks, and Alma Mater, who we did forget to mention earlier. You'll see it on video. Beautiful hat, great sweatshirt. Corey, if you want to run through Alma Mater real quick.
Man, make sure y'all visit, man. AlmaMaterDesigns.com, locally owned. You know, shout out to my guy Brian. His wife was a UF swimmer. Make sure we support local businesses right here off of 3427 University Ave. They do customized Gator gear that you will not find on Fanatics or any other website. You know, make sure y'all tap in. If y'all need custom stuff done as well, my guy's licensed right here, man. Alma Mater
Design. And he's an artist. Brian actually is designing the art that is going up a mural in our wall. So they do in-house embroidery, in-house decals, and Brian can make you some custom stuff if you're looking for that as well.
Absolutely. Well, go check out Alma Mater. Go check out Greg Brunt Financial Services or Greg Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. And finally, Game Time Sidekicks. We appreciate you guys for joining us each and every Monday night. We'll see you at the same corner, same time next week.